Okay, today's daf is Shkalim daf Yud Ches. Shkalim Yud Ches. Just one ha'ara. This could have, besides ha'aras from yesterday, I just got a few emails about this, but then I saw it in some of the daf Yomi pages. There's an interesting historical note, and that is Shkalim, when the cycle originally started, we spoke already on daf Beis, how Shkalim is got in, being the only Yerushalmi, but also how long Shkalim takes was also somewhat of a controversy. The first couple of cycles, they did Shkalim in 11 days. 11 days, they squeezed it in. There's another Tzuras Adaf, and they did it in 11 days because that was the Slovita printing of the Shas, and there were less Mefarshim, and it only took 11 days. But later on, when the Vilna Shas was reprinted with Shkalim, and it was spread out to 21 days, then all the Rabbanim got together and said, maybe we need a little more time for Shkalim. Not the easiest Masechta in terms of figuring out what the words mean and how to go through it, so it was agreed upon later, after the first couple of cycles, to stretch it out to 21 days. So that's why we have a Daf Yud Ches here in Masechta Shkalim, and that is what we are, Rav Hashem, going into today. So two discussions that we ran out of time that we have to have from yesterday. Number one, the Gemara said, Ein somchin al anes. You can't rely on an ace. So therefore, even though we know the Lechem HaPanim did not spoil over the week, it stayed out in the open on the Shulchan, and it was hot and fresh the week later when the Kohanim switched it every Shabbos, but still, that does not mean that we're allowed to rely on the ace, and therefore, we need tables that were made out of marble, out of shayus, to put it on so it stays cold, so it doesn't become warm and rotted in certain situations. That's what the Gemara spoke about yesterday. Ein maskirin maisa nisim. So again, that's a big sugya, but hopefully we'll have a dafi in shir maybe next week. This week I didn't get to. Dafi in shir relating to davening for nisim. Is that appropriate or not? It's a Hanukkah topic. But there is a discussion that the Radvaz has, and that is in Tshuva 2203. Shalaf from Reish Gimel. Sha'adam imani. Lamanda Amar Pinchas Eliyahu Heich Nitva Lahachios Ben Atzarfis. According to Eliyahu being Pinchas, if you say that idea in Chazal, that's really the same person, so then how was Eliyahu able to be Matami himself to try to bring back to life the child who died? After all, ain't so chanel an ace. And even if there is an ace, but isn't he dead now? Doesn't matter what happens in 5 minutes from now. So how is he a Kohen? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. How is he able to make himself Tameh? Right, it's related to the sugya at the end of Maseches Bava Metzia, where the Gemara asks, what was Eliyahu doing in a cemetery? Right, how is he able to be there? So, Kamed Varm Nebru B'davar Zeh. The Radvaz says you have a couple of ideas. Yesh Omrim Shalom Eis Mamsh. Number one, maybe he wasn't really dead. He was almost dead. He was basically dead, but he wasn't fully dead. Meaning, Tumas Meis did not kick in yet. V'ufachi mashma midechsev ad shalo notra bo neshama v'cheinire v'mashat targim yonus ben uziel lo yizba'esh la v'lo yamuz bra mashma dadayin lo meis. Okay, there's a couple of ideas that give off the impression, a couple of sources, that he wasn't totally dead. And that's Mashma from the end of Maseches Nida, where the Yiboy Luhu Ben Ashunamis Ma'ushi Yitame, Umidilo Yiboy Luhu Leben Atzarfis, to Kadim, Mashma the Sphere Lelo Meis. You only ask the Shaila about later on, about Elisha, not earlier, about Elio, so maybe that gives off that impression. V'yein Derech Zen Nachon Klau. But I don't think that's right, says the Radvaz. Because the Pasuk says, Dechsiv lahamis esbeni, re'ei chai bincha. Right? It sounds like that he was actually dead from other psukim. So number two, he calls Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai, who was right, the Radvaz was 1500s later on. Ve'isi Rabbeinu Bachai shakasav, ditzarfis nachris haisa, umeisei akum einem etamen v'ohel. He never touched the mace, he just stood over him. And maybe he's not talking about like that day in the Tanaim, like Reb Shimon. Ulafize hadachse vayismo date alav lo naga bo ela heil alav levad. V'chinam reliyo atzmo b'tochachriti kiver meisa meinim etamim ohel. If it's talking about the non-Jews, so that already is a machlokas. We said. Remember, we said a couple of weeks ago, spoke about that. Whether they're not even Matami B'maga, whether they're only Matami B'maga and not Ba'oel, whether they're even Matami Ba'oel, or Machra L'chadchila, like Ba'alei HaTosfos, that they're even Matami Ba'oel L'chadchila. So that is number two suggestion. Then he says, number three, quoting Tosfos there at the end of Bava Metzia, well, he was Vaday sure that he would be Mechaya him. So that's why it was okay. Pikuach nefesh is not only to save somebody from death, but even if they already died, to bring him back to life, that's also called pikuach nefesh, says Tosfos, and the Rabbaz quotes it. Vikasha. So number one question on that. The Gemara says in Shkalim, the Gemara says elsewhere, Chada de ein somchen al anes. How can you say that? It's going against halacha, relying on an ace. So even Elio, Visu de imbar lo sheichayeyu, and if he was so sure, imkein lo hayasha bikuach nefesh. So, Mimanavshach, if he was so sure, that, oh, I can get him back alive. So it wasn't Bikuach Nefesh. Vimayisha Bikuach Nefesh, Imkein lo haya baras lo sheichayeyu. You go in a circle, that never ends. Viyodiyesh lafari, shalomun. So, okay, that's the last one, Horasha haisa, that's the pashtus. Kadishis kadishim shemayim al yado, ki inyan lahakriv kachim bachutz. Felio could tell all of Klal Yisrael that we're going to be makriv on a bama bachutz, so he could, for a one-time, one-shot deal, you know, to be matami himself. That's the pashas. It was a Rasha, even if he was a Kohen. Rasha, he was allowed to do it. Right? Bachus ha-somuch lezeh ha-maisha sh'skadish Hashem al-yodo v'chulu. And then he quotes at the end, and the real answer might be, I don't know what Eliyahu Pinchas means. So maybe he wasn't even a Kohen. There is a machlokas in the Midrashim, what shevet Eliyahu was from. So if you say it was Pinchas, he was obviously from Levi. But there are, right, Giladi, Eliyahu Giladi. So Giladi might not be, is not. Levi. Ulfi das chachmi and isaros lokasha klal ki omer pinchas elio shorish nishmaso shel pinchas ukshamru lo v'lav kohen humar lo ratzel legalos asod. It means his neshama was connected, but maybe not his guf, even if you want to understand that chazal. Either way, that's an important radvaz that has to do with ein somchin al hanes. That's in terms of somewhat halacha, but also ashkafa. The other important discussion that I wanted to bring up was about the lechem apanim. There are two lundish discussions that one can have, one needs to have, when we talk about the lechem apanim. Like we had yesterday, all the discussion about all the tables that Shlomo HaMelech made. The first question is why the sidur of the lechem apanim is mentioned in Parshas Truma. Truma lists off all the binyan of the kelim, all the creation. Va'asuli mikdash and va'asisa aron and make the aron and make the kaporis and make the shulchan and make the menorah and make the chatzer, make all of the kelim. But also listed in there is the placement of the lechem apanim on the table. And the question is asked by all the achronim, why is that there? That should be done later on when we talk about the avoda. What should be done? It doesn't say in Truma to light the menorah, just tells how to build the menorah. So why Dafka does talk about that? So suggests some Achron in the Mitzvah Samela quotes this from earlier sources that it could be that the Lechem HaPanim being on the Shulchan is not just a separate mitzvah, but it is part of the completion of the Tzura of the Shulchan itself. The Shulchan is not complete unless it has Lechem HaPanim on it. That's why it's part of the creation of the Shulchan. That's why it's in Parshas Truma. He quotes, Mikad lechem apanim me'etzem tzuras ha-shulchan hu. Uksha'ein alav lechem apanim leka alei shem shulchan. V'lachein mekomo hu bebinyan ha-shulchan. That's why it's here. And that's why you have different deos, whether you count separately the sidur of the lechem apanim. The Rambam and others count it as a separate mitzvah, but others do not. Maybe because once it's part of this, the creation of the shulchan, and you don't count any creation of kelim except maybe the aron, says the Rambam, so therefore you don't count it as a separate mitzvah. This also might help with the machlokas tanaim and maseches menachas. How do you switch? What does the word tamid mean? So some say the word tamid means that you have to make sure that there's no night goes by without lechamim, without the loaves on the shulchan. But what does some tanaim say? No, you can't have a second without the lechem apanim. Tamid means you have kohanim go in, some kohanim are ready with the old ones, they pull them out, and then they put the new ones right in, so there's not a second, right away. What's so important? Just wait a few seconds. Why is it so crucial? So, okay, it says the word tamid, but that also might be because you want it to stay a shulchan. And therefore, you need to always have the lechem on the shulchan. That is part of its definition. That is one discussion that a number of achronim have. The other discussion is, and this is already in the Gemara, you don't even have to go to the achronim for this, and that is, how much is the lechem apanim related to other karbonus mincha? We know the lechem apanim is a karbon mincha of sorts. But it's not a regular carbon mincha. So how much is it, do we group it? Right, it comes from flour, and we're makdir some of it, right, we're makdir the bazichin, right, that you're only after you're makdir the bazichin, the little cups of frankincense, are you able to eat the lechem aponim? So that's similar to a carbon mincha where you're makdir the kometz that you took off. So the kometz comes from here, and the bazichin is a separate item, but it serves the same function. So there are many gemaras, including today's daf. We have it on today's daf also. The relationship between the lechem aponim and other carbonous mincha. That is a very important discussion. When do you group it with others and when not? And the Mishnayos, the Rav Asher Weiss in Parshas Truman, Siman Nun Aleph, quotes like seven or eight contexts where Gemaras, where you have this dichotomy. It's a different type of lechem of karbon mincha, but it definitely is in the category of a mincha. The Gemara says in one place, mincha ksheira below shemen, shekein matzino b'lechem aponim. Again, there are many times the Gemara brings rayas for carbonous mincha, even though lechem aponim is not the normal way. Mincha shekitsh al gabi karka ksheira shekematzino basilik bazichin. Again, there are many different rayas to this, but it's counted as a separate mitzvah. Carbon mincha and lechem aponim is a separate mitzvah, so that shows that it's unique. So again, this is the balancing act that one has to do. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara now. Couple of lines from the bottom on Yud Zayin Amebeis. We just spoke about all the different shulchanos that were in Bayis Rishon that Shlomo HaMelech made. Machlokas Tanam, whether you used all of them or only one of them was used and the rest were there for show. So Tani, Mizrach Umayrev Hayunasunin, Divrei Rebbe. They were set up east to west. East to west. You walk into the Heichal from the east side and they're set up from east to west. Right, and what does that mean? So pashas, that means, we think, it's on the north side, like all shulchanos have to be, and they're set up all the way on the right side when you walk in. Rebbe Elazar bei Rebbe Shimon Omer, Tzafon V'Darma, you soon know, they were set up north-south, which we think means going from the north side, not in terms of how the shulchan was placed, but where they were placed. They were placed from the north to the south, going across, so when you walk in, you basically bump into them, because there's no other room. If they're each take up the space, they will fit in the entire the space of 20 amos going north south. So Mandavar Mizrach Umayrav Nicha Kulhun Reuyin L'Sheirus. If you say the first opinion, they go east west. That's fine because they all can be used. They're all on the north side of the Heichal, and therefore they are usable. Mandamar Tzafon V'Darom. But if you say north south, Nimsa Shulchan V'Darom, then the Shulchan is in the south. That can't be. Remember, we had Gemaras and Brachas. If you dream about the menorah, if you dream about the Shulchan, if you want to become rich, you have to look at the, you have to look south, right? You have to look north. You have to look at the, that's where the direction of the Shulchan. If you want to become wise, right? What's the Hachmin Yadrim? You look south where the menorah usually, because the menorah symbolizes the Ara Torah, the Ar HaChachma. But the Shulchan has to be in the north. And here, if you have them all across, then you have some in the south. No answer given to that question. So that's what we reject that opinion. So it has to be, going east. East-west. The Tiklat Chadatin here points out that there's a lot of problems with this Shita. For example, he quotes that it doesn't fit. It'll be exactly, if you have these 10, it'll be exactly 20 amos going across, and the measurement, the width of the Heichal is 20 amos, so you can't, you're going to squeeze it in, there's no room, airspace in between. It's impossible. So that's another problem with the Shita. But the Tiklat Chadatin has a very interesting line. He says, "V'lav urcha de Yerushalmi laharich bepilpula shalo aliba de hilchasa." It's not the derech of the Yerushalmi to go into depth analyzing Shitos that we don't paskin like. So I'm not an expert on Yerushalmi, but you just gotta check out all other Yerushalmis. Is that normal? Is that regular that Yerushalmi doesn't go deep into other Shitas? The Bavli does, obviously. The Bavli in many places analyzes Shitas that we don't paskin like. Sometimes we show and bring Rayas. Well, because the Gemara delved into the Shita, it must be paskin that way. But that's not always true. The first two plot in Maseches Nida talk about Shammai. We don't paskin like Shammai. There are many times that the Gemara goes through into Shitas that we don't paskin like. Okay, either way, this is how the Shulchanos war. Let's continue with the Shulchanos, and then we'll make some more comments. Says the Gemara, Tani, skipping the next three words, Tani, HaShulchan HaYenosun Mechatzi HaBayis, V'lefnim, you walk into the Heichal, it is on the Mechatzi HaBayis Levim, on the inner half of the Heichal, Mashuch Menachos HaBayamos U'Mechsa, off of the northern wall, by 2.5 Amos, Klapei HaTzafon, north, Umenorah Kenegdo, and the menorah is exactly opposite it bid Darom in the south. Right, that's the Meshechak, what we said yesterday. Once Shlomo decided that he has to put in more menorahs because of the ratio and the size. So you had to have shulchans, more shulchans also, because they had to be parallel. Every menorah and shulchan have to be parallel to each other. Mizbeach HaZahav, the third kli that was inside the heichal, haynosun be'emsa bayis, that was mamish in the middle. Exactly, in the middle, cholek as a bayis, it's right, it splits the heichal, mechasiv lefnim, mashal klim akal bechutz. Really on the inside, but it's sticking out a little bit towards the outside. The kolon haynosun, Mishlish Abayis Vilafnim. And all of it was put in from the third of the Bayis Vilafnim. What does that mean? So for that explains the Mefarshim. You have to add in the 20 Amos length of the Kodesh Kadashim. So if you have that, so it's 40 and 20, so 60 Amos length, so it's all within the third of the Bayis, including the Kodesh Kadashim. So in terms of some levels of Kedusha, we look at the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadashim as one unit. And in terms of other levels, they're looked at separately. Remember what we mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah in the beginning of Kalim. So the Kodesh Kodashim is looked at separately. It is, right, because there are different halachas that apply to it. Good. The, Poskim discussed, Chassam Sofer has an important tshuva where he discusses, again, the Chassam Sofer, you have to remember when he lived, and a lot of his tshuvas were anti the beginning of the Reform movement. In the 28th tshuva, Simen Chav Ches, he discusses where the bima is supposed to be in a shul. Where's the bima supposed to be? He says, for age immemorial, for years and centuries, the bima was always in the middle. The bima was always in the middle of the shul. And he says, chadashim l'bakarim, now many new people want to put the bima in the front of the shul. That's what he was asked. For Rotzim, he says, vad, higiani vad beis hakneset, yishana, shesasru anshe akol, kodesh v'yirchivu binyan achadasha, l'romein beis alokenu, v'rotzim l'hamed abima shekarim batar, besof beis haknesses, samach la'aren kodesh, v'lo be'emsa, kamo shayim makedmes dana. They wanted to say, put in the front, ba'amram, shehenoi v'harvacha yoser, there'll be more room, you don't have the beam in the middle that takes away seats, just put it in the front with the space anyway, there'll be more seats in the shul, me'asher ta'amod be'emsa, v'nafsho yafa b'she'iloto, if that's appropriate or not. Says the Chassam Sofer, in no uncertain terms, no. The answer is no, bima's got to be in the middle of the shul. He says, the Rambam says, bone and teva be'emsa beis haknesses, kedei sheyishmu kulam b'shaveh, to put it in the middle, v'kolam mishaneh yadol ha'tachtona. If anybody wants to change, they have to bring the proof. And he says, amnam, b'chol makom kasav l'lamei tzchus al eze mekomos ba'art sosam. Sometimes you want to bring l'lamei tzchus, sh'banav bima b'sof beis haknesses, b'kasav teim sfirli davka b'zmanam, she'er rov ha'am v'lo shamu kalakorei. But now, where we have smaller shuls, it's okay to do it in the front. You know, that's a nice try, but he says, I think that's wrong. Nearly sh'nishtabshu akihilos, b'mechilas kvodo, adarabah, kal v'chomer. I think it's a kal v'chomer. Why? Hashta, the Gemara in Sukkah. Uma Alexandria. Remember the story in the Gemara in Sukkah where they had the flags, they had such humongous shuls. Shebechol zos lo shamu kalakol. Vitzrichol lo hanefas hudar, and they had to wave the flags. Viafilo hachi, and still, emidu be'emsa velo basof. Avagav, shekacha yacholiros, hanafas sudar me'asof, kamo be'emsa. Vimlo dai besudar, echad yamidu shnayim. Elkogel lo shabardam ilum evadach. You see from there, you can't move anything. There's a certain structure, and you have to work out other ways to get the communication in the other parts of the shul. Umisvara Omar, kimach anu machzikan abima shabakor and parshas akarbanos, kimo hamizbeach, shemipnei kain misviva abima bachaga sukkis, just like you go around the mizbeach. On Sukkot, you gotta go around the bima by the Torah. Both the mizbeach shomer beheichal of Aaron HaKodesh, and even the mizbeach in the heichal, the mizbeach haKetores. What does our Gemara say? It was be'emsa. It was in the middle. It was cholek v'heichol. Mechuvan be'minorah l'sholchan. It was exactly in the middle. V'yana v'ima shalonu omedes bifnim k'mizbeach ha'pnimi ra'ui l'ha'amido be'emso beis ha'knesses l'damo l'beis ha'mikdash k'chol efshari. As we know, Mikdash Ma'at, in many ways, is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Ein Lashanos, and then he has his famous line, which he says in many tshuvas, v'aklal chadash aser min ha'torah b'chol makom. Chadash is Asim in HaTorah, which he paraphrases the halacha of Chadash, means anything new, and therefore don't try to bring me any case where the bima should be in the front. And then he says, it's like they want to be like the other religions, which has all the action in the front, right, in the churches and elsewhere, everything's in the front, so that's a chukos ha'akum, he says, might also be a problem. Either way, that's an important shuba of the Chassam Sofer in terms of the structure of a of a Beis HaKnesses. Again, there's more here relating to this. Maybe the Ma'ariv Asad as a tshuva. It's similar to Kabbalah HaTorah, where Klal Yisrael went around Har Sinai, and we also go around the Mizbeach. Okay. Anyway, we continue. That's all related to the Shulchan. Now we move over to the Menorah, and then we'll have to ask a question at the end relating to all of them. Eser Shulchanos. Right, we are up at the seventh line. Eser Menoras, Eser Shlomo. Shneamar, Vayas, Es Menoras Hazov. Eser Kimishpato. He made 10. Vayitin Behechal Hashem, Hemimin Behemismol. Vida Behechal. Hemimin Behemismol. He put it in the Aron, in the Hechal. So again, In Tamar, Chamesh Betzafon, Vachamesh Bedarom. If you say there were 5 on the north side of the Hechal, and 5 on the south, Halo, Ein Hamenorak, Shere El Bedarom. Doesn't work. The Menorah has to be in the Darom. Shneamar ves haMenorah nochach haShulchan ayarach haMishkan teimana. Ma'atam olam haChamesh miYamin veChamesh miSmol. Ella Chamesh miYamin Menorah Shel Moshe veChamesh miSmola. 5 to the left and 5 to the right, but they're all on the left side as you walk in. They're all on the south side. Afal Pikein lo hayamavir Ella Shel Moshe bovad. Same achlok as we had yesterday, but here by the menorah, they only use Moshe. Shneamar uMenorah haZav v'nei Rosel livaer ba'erev ba'erev. So it's singular. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no, Kulan Ayamavir, this delight, all of them. Or, right, this, according to Rashi and Menachas, this means they switched off, or it means, according to others, they lit them all at the same time. Shneimar ves haMenoras, Menoros, plural. V'nei Roseim, Lava'aram, Kemishpat, Lifnei, Devir, Hadvir, Zahav, Sagur. What does Sagur mean? It says elsewhere, the Mefarshim explained that once this menorah was made and the gold was used up, there was nothing else, no other stores were able to sell anything. This was so gorgeous. So they just closed. Va'aperach va'haneros va'melkachayim zahav hu michlos zahav. What does that mean? Michlos? Hein kilu zavo shel girseish shlomo. That he used up all the gold. I mean, he used a ton of gold. Doesn't mean literally. He used a ton of gold to make this menorah. Period. Tani Rav Yehuda b'shem Rav Yasi ha'yishlomo notel elef kikri zav. He took a lot of gold. Umachnisan lekor. He put it into the kiln. Umotzi an achu ma'amidan alechad. He purified it so much. He had so much gold. Purity, until he had so little left, but it was so pure. L'kayim ha'shenemar kikar zahav tahor asa osav. V'chulu. Very pure. Tanya Amar Rav Yosi bei Rav Yehuda. Maisa b'menoras zahav. There was a story with a golden menorah. Sha'asa Moshe b'midbar. Vaisi yaseira dinar zav, or the girsa of the carbon aida here is the menorahs hamikdash that was ended up being, they weighed it and it weighed a little more than the one that was in the days of Moshe. So it was a little too much. So vaisi yaseira dinar zav echnisa lakur shmonim pam, and they try to get purify it more, and they put it in 80 times. V'lo chazer klum. So you see sometimes if you put in the kiln, nothing happens if it's pure gold. So the Gemara says, no, V'yo, is that correct? Adelo yakum al birurei, before it's totally pure and clean, havichas or sagin. So then fine, you could purify it. But min du kaim al birurei, once you purified it, then that's it. You reach a certain point where, lo chaser klum, there's nothing more to do. Good, so Shlomo HaMelech made 10 menorahs, he made 10 shulchanos. The big question that we have to ask on this also is, isn't there an Isser of Baal Tosef? There's a pasuk in Chumash that says one menorah. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says one shulchan. Well, that's just the minimum. Make as many as you want. It sounds like v'yasisa es ha-shulchan. V'yasisa menorah zahav tahar. One menorah. So what was Shlomo HaMelech doing that he built all of these menorahs? So there are different suggestions given. Right, parallel discussion is in Meseches Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin with Tosfos and the Rishonim there ask, how do we blow so many kolos on Rosh Hashanah? Baal Tosef, you're adding on to the mitzvah of Hashem. Right, you want to blow 30? Fine, I'll give you 30. Why? Why do we blow 30? Because that's the minimum we have to blow to make sure that we're covered for the mitzvah. We don't know what the word shrua means in the Torah. We don't know. Maybe it means what we call shvarim. Maybe it means what we call shrua. Maybe it means what we call shvarim shrua. It's some type of cry, but we don't know. And we know there's a Masorah that you have to have a straight sound, it's Kiyah before and after. So the minimum amount that you have to blow is 3 Truas, it says the word Truah 3 times in the Torah. So whatever that Truah sound is, you have to do it 3 times, preceded and followed by a Tkiyah. That adds up to 30. Right, that is a 30. 3 Truas, 3 Shvarim Truas, and 3 Shvarims. Each preceded and followed by a Tkiyah. Fine, but that's 30, that's not 100. So why do we blow so many more? That's Tosef's question. But in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Mabeis. So, explains Tosfos, Tema HaKa'avar Mishum Baal Tosef. Says Tosfos, Ein Shayach Baal Tosef ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah achas beis pa'amim. Wow. Right? All of these are yesodos. Tosa says, there can't be baltosif by doing a mitzvah more than once. All right, for Kohen Duchens 14 times in one day. Is there a baltosif? No. Baltosif is where you sit in a sukkah for an extra day. There you're doing it beyond the proper time. That's baltosif. If I add on a parsha in my tefillin, or I add on a string to my tzitzis, that's adding on to the object that the mitzvah is done with. But doing a mitzvah in extra time, there's no baltosif to that. That's what Tosa says. Konkoin and Mavarech, Vachozer and Mavarech. Oso Tzibra Atzma. Oh, no, tell Lula, Vachozer and Otel. If I take a Lula 6 times a day, that's fine. I can't add an extra min to the lulav, but that's not baltosif. That's the yesod of tosfos. The Rashba right here says there can never be baltosif by a din derabbanan. If the rabbanan enacts something, they have that power. That's a built-in allowance. So that's not baltosif. That's not baltosif. That's the Rashba. So along these lines, maybe Shlomo HaMelech had the power of a din derabbanan. Shlomo HaMelech made din derabbanan. Remember we had back in Erevin? Right, Erev Chaseros, Netilas Yadayim. So he made Dinan Drabanan. So that could be the answer. Shlomo HaMelech had the power to make certain Dinan Drabanan that he assumed for various reasons. There is even a Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says, you're right, he wasn't commanded, but it was hinted to. It's already hinted to in the Torah. Where is it hinted to in the Torah? To have 10? What did the Pasuk say? V'chein b'menorah, says Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Truma. Te'aseh ha-menorah. So what do we darshan by that? Oh, it's too hard to make, so Hashem kind of was made itself. Moshe threw the gold into the oven, and it was made by itself. Te'aseh. We have an extra yud in the pasuk. An extra yud in the word. That yud is an allusion to the extra 10 menoros that were made. Biyud. V'lakach aser shlomo eser menoros. She'ena kavanah she'titzaveh ha-torah menorah achas. V'sheyovo shlomo v'yasa mehem eser. V'chein asar shulchanos v'asar kiyorim. V'nimsa over al baltosif, says Rabbeinu Bachai. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu modiya l'moshe bahar, ki kishayivnu beis ha-migdash yasu asara. V'hayu hadvarim kabbalah b'yadam, ad shehigiyah binyam beis ha-migdash, v'asa shlomo kasher haisa kabbalah b'yadam. Wow. So it wasn't Shlomo's decision, according to Rabbeinu Bachai. Moshe was told this. That b'zman ha-migdash, there's going to be 10. And that was alluded to, even in the Torah Shebichsav, the extra yud when it comes to the menorah. Okay, and there are other allusions, but that is Rabbeinu Bachai. Good. The other issue just to mention before we continue relating to menorah is a question that the Minchas Chinuch said bothered him for years. Bothered him for years. Whenever we talk about menorah, we like to mention this question. And that is on the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the havlaka of the menorah can be done by a non-kohen. Havlaka k'shir bazar. Right, even though you don't need a Kohen to light the menorah. Right, even a non-Kohen can light the menorah. The hatava, ironically, the cleaning out of the menorah has to be done by a Kohen. Because it says, in the Pasuk, Beitivos Eneros Yaktirena, it's referring to a B'nai Aaron. But the lighting of the menorah, that's okay, even a non-Kohen can light it. Asks the Minchas Chinuch, how did that ever take place? The Rambam also paskins, Hatzlaka Osa Mitzvah. We're getting into Hanukkah days. You have to light it in the place where it is going to stay. Right? Not Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah. Gemara and Shabbos Chaf Beis. That you light it, then you put it down, and then the mitzvah is when you put it down. No. Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah means all of other conditions have to be in place at the moment that you light it. Because Hanukkah is Osa Mitzvah. So Yasem Minchas Chinuch. A Zara is never allowed to go into the Heichal. And the menorah, as we just learned, is all the way in the Heichal. So how did the Zara ever light it? What? He used a really long wick. He stood outside and he like tried to light it from the outside. How'd he do it? That's the Minchas Chinuch's kasha. V'zeh kama shonim hikshesi al din zeh shel Rambam. De what? De motziyam lachutz mutu lazar lahavak. What, you could take it outside? The Rambam's lashon is, v'chein hadlakis neiros k'sher bizarim. L'fichach im heitiv koinetz haneiros v'hotziyam lachutz mutu lazar lahavikon. So how you take the menorah outside? The Rambam says, what? It just means im hidlik. If you lit it, you violated b'isr maybe kasher. You got to take it outside. And that's what Rashi says in Shabbos Chav Beis. And therefore, imkein kiva demakam menorah behechal bevad itzorch lahalik bimkoma dainu behechal v'shalo bimkoma lo asa klum ve'eich katzva aram and laharayvid the havlakas and bachutz k'shera hazlaka bimkoma be'inon v'yachar zman matazi kushizu b'sefer meiser rokeach ve'eino tachas yadi ka'es. I don't have that, I can't look inside. This is the kasha that Minchas doesn't have an answer to. He just said this has bothered me for years. So, all the different achronim after try to give an answer. Reb Chaim discusses whether the mitzvah is the Maisa Hatzlaka, or Sheyehei Neiros Delukim, right? You have to make sure the result is taken care of, not just the maisa. But either way, this is an important discussion. Maybe the halakha osa mitzvah doesn't mean the same thing in Hilchas Shabbat, Hilchas Chanukah, and Hilchas Beis Hamikdash. Different suggestions given to answer that question of the Menachas Chinuch. Just by the way, one other ha'ara to mention, and that is the Gemara we discussed, the Chasam Sofer, about the parallel between the menorah of the bima and the mizbeach and the shul. So where the menorah goes in our shul, bechlal, is connected to the Beis Hamikdash. As we know, the menorah is put on the south side of the shul when Mizrach is where the shul davens, depending where you are in the world. It goes on the same side as the menorah was in the Beis Hamikdash. Right, that's the minhag that we have, a minhag of lighting a menorah, a chanukiah, in our shul. Big controversy about a bracha on that. There's a bracha on a minhag. Shulchan Aruch says you make a bracha in shul, even though he usually says you don't make a bracha on a minhag. Yesterday, if you go walk into a Sephardi shul on Rosh Chodesh, there's no bracha on Hallel. That's only Ashkenazim. Sephardim do not make a bracha because on Hallel Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. So the Shulchan Aruch though paskins that you make a bracha on lighting in shul, which is also a minhag. That's a big problem. Exactly how you get out of that issue, that halacha, that stira. But either way, where do we light the menorah in shul? We light it on the same side that the menorah was in the Beis Hamikdash. The Tshuva Sadeshit even has a tshuva. How do you station the menorah? Do you put it lined up east-west or north-south? So he says, whatever you paskin in the Beis Hamikdash, that's the machlokas tanoim in Mesechas Menachas. So that's what you were paskin in shul too. So that's what I think. The minhag olam is to line it parallel to the wall, which is going east-west on the south side of the shul. Either way, that's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch in Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph in Hilchas Chanukah. Okay, we continue. Maybe we'll read some of that at the end if there's time. Says the Mishnah, Shlosh Asar Shafaros Hadiv HaMikdash. There were 13 pushkas. 13 pushkas that were shaped like shofars in the Mikdash. As we mentioned, why were they shaped like shofars? So that you can't steal from it. You put it in, it's skinny on top, and it gets bigger at the bottom. And it was written on them. Why were there 13? Because these were the 13, as follows. Tiklan Chazdim and Tiklan Atikin. This year's Shkalim and last year's Shkalim. Kenan. There was one that says Kenan. That means a pair of birds. The Gozle Ola. And Gozle Ola, the birds of little pigeons of Enola. Eitzim, wood, Lavona, frankincense, Zahav Lekaporas, that's all Girsa. Gold that was used for lining certain items that had to be gold. And then, besides those seven, Shishal and Nadava, six for Nadava. For Nadava, that money was used to bring Olos on the Mizbeach. Why do you need six for those? We will see. We will see. So now we'll go through each one. Tiglan Chadatin, Shebechal Shana Vashana, that's the new Shkalim. And that's what they used for the Shkalim and the Trumas Halishka. That's what this Masech is about. V'yatikin, and the old one, Mishalohe V'yishtakit, Shokal Shana Ba. If somebody comes late and they forgot to bring last year's, we already had this, they put it into this one, and it's last year's Shkalim. Kenan, so now you have the two with the birds. So Machlok is what these were. So there was one that said Kenan, and the one that said Gozle Ola. So, Rabbi Yehuda holds Kenan war Torin and Gozli Ola Heim B'nei Yona. Those are the two types of birds that you could bring for Karbanos. Kenan and Torin and B'nei Yona. One of them were old, one of them were young. 1 year and 2 years. But either way, Kulan Olos. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, holds both pushkas of birds were used for Olos. If a woman had to bring, which is a usual kan, one Chatos and one Ola, let's say she had a baby or she was a Zava, then she had to bring that not from here. She had to bring her own. Bring your own, you can't have it from here. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. All Olos. We'll see why in the Gemara. He does not want to have run into other problems. The Chachamim Omrim, no. Kenan, the box that said Kenan, that was for the regular pair of birds. Echad Chathas Vechad Ola. Gozle Ola, and the one that said Gozle Ola, Kulan Olos. That was for people who were no Dave. If a woman promised Nadava to bring a set of Karbanos, so we know you can't bring a Chatos as a Nadava, so then you have to bring two birds, Olos. Right, and that, if you remember, the entire Masechta Kenim is all about mix-ups. It's all about, a woman who had two Olos got mixed up with a woman who has a Chatos and an Ola. Where do you do these Zrikas? Because we know an Ola Sa'of and a Chatos Sa'of have opposite Avodos. Opposite Avodos. An Ola Sa'of is sprinkled, I think, above the Chut HaSikra. And a Chat HaSa'of is sprinkled under the Chut HaSikra, right? It's the opposite of Behemoth. Because the Behemoth, the Chat HaSbehemoth is sprinkled Lomala, on the Kronos, on the all four Kronos. And the Olas Behemoth is sprinkled Lomata, Mi Chut HaSikra, Shtayim Shein Arba. Okay, says that's a machlokes, what this was used for. We'll see the svaras in the Gemara. Ha'omer harei alayetzim, if somebody says, I hereby promise to bring wood as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, or to donate wood, lo yifchaz b'shtei gzirin. Got to bring at least two logs. Lovona, lo yifchaz b'kometz. Frankincense, you have to give at least a kometz. Zahav, lo yifchaz b'dinar zahav. Right, you have to give at least a dinar zahav. Shishal and nadava, what were they used for? Nadava ma'ayosim ba. Why six? We'll see in the Gemara. What were they used for? Lochim ba olos ha'basar l'shem ba'oros l'konim. You buy carbon olos with them, and like a regular carbon ola, right? You burn all of it except for the hide, and the hide goes to the Kohanim. Zem medrash darshi hodyada kohen gadol. He made this drasha. Asham who? Asham Asham Hashem. So there it says in Asham, but then it says Lashem, which is like a word used for an ola. So zehaklal kolshu ba mishem chatas mishem Ashama. If there's any leftover money that was supposed to be used for a chatas or an Asham, yilakach lehen olos habasa l'shem v'ha'oros l'kohanim. Right, that's the halacha. And why is this so important? Because there are two psukim. The one that we just quoted was Lashem, but you also have the next pasuk that says l'kohanim. Nimsu shnei ksuvin kayamin Asham Lashem Asham l'kohan va'omer kesef Asham v'kesef chatas lo yuva beis Hashem l'kohanim yiyu. So you see a pasuk about Asham that says l'kohanim, a pasuk about Asham that says Lashem. So you burn it all Hashem except for the hide that goes to the Kohanim. Of course, if you have an animal that is a Moser Chatas or Moser Asham, then you don't say this. Right? That's Moser Chatas in some way. If it's an animal, so that might be one of the Chatos Mesos. They have to let it, graze until it dies. But we're talking about money that's left over for Karbanos. Good. Tanya, Amrabi Yehuda, Lohaya Shofar Shokinim B'Yushalayim, Ibn Atarovas. So we're back. Remember the two bird pushkas. The Chachamim say one of them was for Chatas and Olas, for pairs, and one of them was for all olos. So Yehuda says, no, they're both olos, just different types of birds. Why? It's much easier for people to have one of them. Many women have to bring a chatas and an ola as a pair. So why doesn't he want a pushka for that purpose? So he says, no, he's worried about mix-ups. What type of mix-ups? Shema tamus achas mehen. Maybe one of the women who's chayav a chatas and an ola will die. V'nimsu, and she already put money in for her carbon into the pushka. V'nimsa demeachatos mesos v'rabos behen. And then you're going to have her money mixed in, money of a and chatos mei. So she died, so you have to like throw this money into the Yamamelech, but it's mixed up. You don't know where it is, so it's going to only run into problems. And that's why Yehuda says that it is not going to work. Why don't you say bittel? There's so much money in there. So one of them just say it'll be mevutal. So the Achronim talk about, do you say bittel in this context? Is money mevutal? Do you say matbeos or mevutal? Certain things are not mevutal. At least on a drabana level, they're not mevutal. Davar sheish lamatira and a davar chashav chaticha ruilis kabed. Right there in Birya, there are many things that are not mevutal. So it sounds like according to him, he would say it's not mevutal. So the achronim here ask. But didn't we learn? Ha'isha sha'amah harei alei kan. The woman promises to bring a kan, meaning two olos. Me'viyah d'me'ah kan v'dos naso ba'shofar. You put it into the shofar. V'yocheles b'kadshim. And she can eat kadshim right away that night. V'eina chosheshes shemen is atzal bohen. And we don't think that the kohen is going to be lazy. V'eina kohen choshe shemen d'me'ah chatos besos murabos ben. And we're not worried that she died. So you see that we're not worried about these things. So the Gemara says, Ki kamrina b'chatos shemesu ba'alehen vadai. What does that mean? Explains the Tikkun Chatatin. B'di'eved, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda would say we're not worried if it got mixed in that the woman died. But on a l'chadchila level he's talking about. On a l'chadchila level he says not to put it in. But either way, you're right. B'di'eved, if it got mixed in and we don't know the woman died, we wouldn't be worried. V'i amrinon, add in one word, breira. If we hold up the concept of breira, adds the gra. So why don't we just do this? If we know, even if we know that she died, b'di'eved, nivra daladzuze, take the money, take some money from the pile, v'nishne benara, v'idach lishteru. Just take some money, throw it away. Remember the sugya breira? Again, complicated sugya, but the breira is whenever we believe that we can clear up past events based on a future activity, right? At T2, once it gets cleared up, then I'm allowed to throw the roots of this chiluk, of this distinction, back into the past. That's Brera. So here, once I take out the money, why don't I say, oh, this was the money that the woman deposited, and everything else is mutter. So the Gemara says, Hamrina Biyama, Rabbi Yehuda, less like Brera. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Brera. As we paskin, we don't say, less, we paskin ain't Brera on a Daraisa level. Maybe each Brera on a Darabana level. Either way, period. Whenever Breira comes up, again, there's a lot to talk about, but just one marker that sometimes we mention, and that is an important Tosfos in Maseches Temura. It's also said by the Ritven Yuma, which Hashem we'll get to in a couple of weeks. But the Tosfos in Temura says, what's the relationship between Breira and Bittel? And Bittel, let's say you have one non-kosher frank that falls into 1,000 kosher hot dogs. Right, 1,000 hot dogs. So what do we say? Oh, you have to worry about Bittel. Let's say you don't have enough for Bittel. Let's say you don't have enough. Why can't you take one out and say, Breira, that's the one that was treif and everything else is mutter? What do you say that? Okay, forgetting Tom Ki'ikr for now. Says Tosas, no. No, Breira and Bittel are two totally different ideas. He asks, the question is, B'kol Isser ha'mu'ur beheter, nisvach ha'breira, v'nishkol kishira Isser v'idach lishteru. So he quotes, no, klal gadol b'din zeh. What's Breira and when does Bittel work? Devadai. Kol davar shehuvra ha'isser mitchila. V'achar kachnis ari beheter, lo samchin na'breira. If nikar ha'isser before the taroves, of course you don't say Breira there. Because there was an Isser. And now it got mixed in, so you have to find where that Isser is. What's Breira? Where something is not clear, and then it only gets clear when it's in the Ta'aroves. But what's Bittel? You have something that's Usser, and then it goes into a mixture. So you can't pick and choose what you want to say. Okay, this is the Usser one. No! If it's not Bittel. If it's Batel, so then you have laws of Bittel. But if it's not Batel, so then you have to, whatever the Isser is, you don't know where it is. And therefore, you can't apply Breira in that case. Avohani Tarovosan Beheter. Kia Isser Lohaya Mavura called him Taruvuso. Ulachar Tarovas, no, but Isser Usam Chinana Breira. Breira is only when something becomes Usser or something gets its status after it's mixed into the Taroves. That's when you might be able to rely on
like a liquid.
Well, a liquid, and you can have Usser liquid before it falls in also. But then you might not be able to rely on Breira. But either way, that is the chiluk that Tosfos has in Maseches Temura on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Again, there are other Rishonim that mention that chiluk too. I just quoted it from there. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara two dots. Rabbi Yosef be Rabbi Bun. Amar Rabbi Ba Bar Mamol Ba'i Amar Hare Alai Eitz Mevi Gizer Echad. He quotes, if I say I promise to bring eitz wood, you could bring one log of wood. Even though our Mishnah said, if you don't specify, if you say, eitzim, harealai eitzim, you have to bring two. If you say eitz, you can bring one. Amar Belezer, masis amrakein. And I think the Brisa supports that even one is significant to be a carbon. Shezek carbon befrei aspo, vezek carbon befrei aspo. Each one would be okay to be a carbon. Kahahid tetaninon. Like the Mishnah that describes the Avoda, tamon, tetanina tamon, shnayim biyadav shei gizri eitzim. Two kohanim carry up the two gizri eitzim, meaning one each. So you see, each kohen is doing a significant Avoda. Period. Says the Gemara. We take out the next phrase, Karl Narvaz Asim, Rav Shua ben Levi Omar, Avyon, what was this wood that you have to bring? What are its dimensions? Avyon Amma, Ba'amma Socheches. Its thickness is an Amma in a loose Amma, meaning a six tefach Amma. The Arkan, Ba'amma Geduma. But its length has to be a smaller Amma. That's only of the five one, literally a cut-off one. Rabbi Choni b'shem Rabbi Ami k'min turtani, like a thin, like the stick that's used in a scale. Amar Shua bar Rabbi Yitzchak, why so crucial that it's small? Lefisha lo haya makam ha-marachel ha-amal ama. Remember, the kohanim have to walk around on top of the mizbeach. And if all the wood are too long sticking out, they're not going to have a place to walk. So the makam of the big ma'aracha was amal ama lefichach lo haya bo ala ama geduma. That's why he used the shorter one. V'tani chen, we also learned this in a braisa. Ama ha-yesod. The yesod, the base was an ama. Ama sovev. The ledge was an ama. Ama karkov. The netting on the side was an amma, amma kronos, the horns were an amma, amma maracha. So all of these amos are relating to the structure of the mizbeach. Good. Lavon aliyah chosmi kometz. So this is these next couple of lines refer to back what we started off with today. The relationship between the lechem apanim and karban mincha. Because lavona, how do we know that lavona, you can't bring less than a kometz? So nemer kan azkara. It says by a regular karban mincha, Azkara, it says that it has to be a remembrance. V'nemer lahalan Azkara. And it says later on Azkara by the Lechem Apanim. Ma Azkara ha'amur lahalan malei kometz. Just like the Azkara that it says later on malei kometz, it has to be a kometz by a regular carbon mincha by the Lechem Apanim. Avazkara amur kamalo kometz. So you compare it to the Lechem Apanim. Right? That's how you know that the Lavona has to be a Kometz. Ima askaraha amur lahalon shnei Kometzin af askaraha amur kan shnei Kometzin. So why don't you go all the way? Once you're comparing it to Lachem Apanim, the Lachem Apanim has two bazichin, two Kometzin that have to be burned. So maybe every time you're no Dave to bring a Lavona, you have to bring two. So I'm Rabbi Eila, no. Klum lamda lakometz ela mi minchas chote. No, but Kometz is also compared to the regular carbon mincha. Don't you learn that halacha from a regular carbon mincha? That if you're missing any amount, it's pasul. So you see, you learn other halachas from a regular carbon too. Carbon mincha. And therefore, one is enough. Period. Amr Rabbi Yossi, Milsa de Rabbi Eila, Amra, based on Rabbi Eila, that you learn it from a regular carbon mincha. And the Lachma Panim, you compare all of these. Amra, you know what you say? Hamasadiv Lavona Mivia Bakomso Shel Kohen Gadol, or Kohen HaGadol. This doesn't mean Kohen Gadol, it means a big Kohen. This means that if you're no Dave to give frankincense, just like a mincha, you go by your size. How big does the Kohen have to be that you burn? Depends on the size of the Kohen's hand. Right, it's very relative. So to Lavona, you have that. Just because you compare it to a mincha, that must be the halacha. So whatever the size of the Kohen is. Reb Chizki, Reb Yirmiyah, not only that, but Filo B'Kometz HaBailim. Right, even if you, the bite, obviously, a czar cannot do kmitza. A czar can do shchita, but a czar cannot do kmitza. But he can at least measure it out, what he's going to be maktish, put into the klisharis. Therefore, you could compare it to a stam mincha. Good. We continue. Again, this is about Lavona and Lechem Apanim. There's more to talk about wood. So remember, keep in mind, one of the, I'll mention, well, let's finish first and then maybe I'll go back to that. Let's first finish. Zav, lo yifchos v'chulu, gold, you have to give at least a dinar. Amar b'lazer v'ushe hizker tzura. That's only if you mention that you're going to give a coin. That's when you have to give at least a dinar. Aval imlo hizker tzura. Maybe a filu tzinora. But if you just say gold, then you can give a golden fork. Give anything you want. Right, you don't have to give a dinar. Period. Shishal Nadava. The six now for Nadava. You know what? We'll stop here by Shishal Nadava. I just wanted to mention one other point. And that is we know the Gemara tells us in two places, the last Daf in Tainus and the Gemara Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, there were six reasons for celebration on Tu Ba'av. On Tu Ba'av, the 15th day of Av, six reasons for celebration. Maybe that's the day that they realized that nobody else was going to die in the Midbar. That's the day that Binyamin was, they married into Binyamin again after the Pelegish Begiva story. That's the day that they decided all Shvatim were allowed to intermarry with each other. That's the day that the statues that Yeruvim ben Avot put up north were removed. But one of the days is the last one. That's the day that they finished bringing the wood, getting the wood ready for the Beis HaMikdash. Right, like we're talking about here, the Karban Eisim. That's the day, so they made a big party. What's the big party for? Why is there such a celebration? They finished checking the wood. Why? Because now in the middle of Av, that's when the middle of the summer, so after Tu B'Av, it's less hot, and therefore the wood wasn't as dried out, and therefore it might be wormy, and that's why they didn't use any wood. All wood they would need for the next foreseeable future, they did before Tu B'Av. They checked the Bali Mumin, we know, checked the wood for worms. They checked that before it was used. So the question is, why is there such a party? Why is there such a party for it? So interesting. Machlokas between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom. They are in Baba Basra on Taf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amabes. The Rashbam there says, well, they finished a great big mitzvah, so they made a party. This is one of the sources in Shas for the concept of making a siyum. This Rashbam in Baba Basra on Taf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amabes. Rabbeinu Gershom, right there on the daf, says otherwise. He says no. He says, because they finished this, now they can have more time to learn Torah. And therefore, that's what they were celebrating. So that also might be a makar for a siyum, but the ikar of a siyum is that you finished or that you can start the next masechta. Right? That's the different emphases between Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashbam right here about the Karban Eitzim. Okay, we'll stop here, B'Hashem. We will continue, B'Hashem, in the coming days. Okay.